Kaya Wonju, hello and welcome to another episode of The Curb Podcast. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. There's something in the water in Perth that leads to a creative movement from local filmmakers who push through micro-budget limitations to tell engaging and inventive stories on screen. For emerging filmmakers like Catherine Grace and Holly Dodd, that drive for creativity comes in the form of working together as actors, writers, and directors on a duo of short films. For Holly, it's the short horror Consumed, a story of a young woman who suffers from sleep paralysis. While for Catherine, her short film, Alison and Betty, sees one friend be haunted by the presence of her distant friend, Betty. As Catherine details in the following interview, working together on each other's films has helped create a body of work that has been able to showcase their combined and singular talents. There's a charm and devilishness to Alison and Betty that leans into a 1950s housewife modality, flipping it on its head with an off-kilter kookiness that sees Catherine and Holly bounce off each other with ease. There's a real promise of talent within Alison and Betty that has me excited to see where both Catherine and Holly progress as filmmakers, whether it be as writers, directors, or actors. I'm excited. I highly recommend you following Catherine's work on Instagram. Her username is Just a Miss Grace, which is both that for Instagram and her YouTube page. The links will be in the show notes. I also recommend following Holly's Instagram page as well. It is Holly E. Dodd 2, where you can keep track of her projects as well. And for The Curb, well, if you're interested in listening to more interviews, make sure to visit thecurb.com.au. And also to keep The Curb independent, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau and support us from as little as $1 a month. Every little bit really helps and it helps keep us going. If you hit the $3 level as well, I am sending out some very nice postcards in the next couple of weeks for Patreon subscribers, which you can also get a film recommendation on there too, alongside a nice, neat looking postcard. It's always nice to receive mail, and hopefully the film recommendation works as well. Anyhow, that's enough from me. Here is the interview with Catherine Grace. What inspired you to become a filmmaker and wanting to tell stories on film?
So I'm a massive film buff. Like, I love films ever since I was young teenager. I really got into to movies. I got some magazine or something, the best 100 films of all time, and I went down the list, and God, that was really my introduction to just being a massive film lover. As an actor, my career as an actor, like, I love being part of other people's works, but I've always had this drive to tell my own stories as well. I've written short stories and things before, and I've adapted other people's work. But when Holly sort of presented me this opportunity to make our own films, I was just, oh my gosh, I was so excited. So yeah, obviously you need a team and you need people. And yeah, we did these two films with the same initial inspiration, which was kind of the dream world and then horror sort of mixing into that. And then we literally, our stories went like that. They were so different, but yeah. But yeah, so I reckon my film, it probably has sort of like ingrained kind of subconscious inspirations that I've had from films I've watched in the past. I'm very much into 1960s style cinema. So if you watch it, I added kind of that kind of vibe, the film grain, the voice. If you hear the audio, it sounds a bit like with that vinyl sort of aspect of it. And I love like the Technicolor kind of look. So yeah, that was a big inspiration. Yeah, the horror kind of story. I mean, for example, if you've seen the film Perfect Blue.
Yes, yeah.
With the sort of person who's there and you're not sure if they're real or not and appearing. So, yeah, there was a lot of I'd say things from many, many years just sort of in my brain and then ready to go when I made this. So yeah, no, I love cinema. I love the stories. And actually I went to the cinema just yesterday and saw The Holdovers, and that was absolutely incredible. Like I just had a great experience in the cinema. Yeah. It's probably my best of the year that I've seen for 2023. It was just fantastic. But yeah, so that's kind of about me. Yeah. And I love telling neat stories as well, something that I have never seen before. Yeah.
And so how did you meet Holly? Where did your working relationship or friendship start?
Yeah, so we actually, we're both actors and we met at Sydney Actors Collective. So that's an acting school. It's based in Sydney, but there are Zoom classes as well. So I had never met Holly in person before we filmed this. So we had met only through Zoom, but we kind of found like, you know, very much a simpatico in our souls, I guess. So like, we were like, yeah, let's do it. It doesn't matter that you're in Melbourne and I'm in Sydney. And then, yeah, we found out we're both from Perth, which is such a coincidence. And we even went to the same school at some point, that we both came from the same place. It was just like we both had that in common that, you know, if you know from Perth, being a filmmaker, I think we work very, very hard, you know, because we both had to move over east, obviously, with acting. I think it's changing a bit now, but back, you know, when I graduated, it was, and she did, it was like kind of Sydney and Melbourne was Europe. But yeah, we just had that real drive in common, which I love, you know, because you do meet other people and you kind of, it's really easy to have like a great idea that goes nowhere. But with Holly, it was like, no, we're going to make it. We're going to do it. All right, let's get something in the calendar. And we worked towards that and we did. And, you know, any sort of problem or anything that came up, it was just like, she is just amazing. She's also a producer by trade. And so I'm a producer in like finger quotes because I kind of just learned doing this, but she's really good. Just meeting up in person for the first time last year in November and filming this. We're absolute professional and just so passionate about my idea as well as I was with hers. And the characters, we play characters in each other's films. So her film's Consumed, mine is Alison and Betty. And they were so different, but yet there's this common thread. So I love that we were able to do that together.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have that kind of working relationship, but also encourage each other to explore those kinds of ideas. And when you find somebody who you can safely do that with, there's nothing else, you know, it's exciting. And however long the relationship will go, the creative relationship will go, like, you know, at least you've got this foundation to work from and build from. How much does that mean for you as somebody who's starting out and getting into filmmaking and telling these stories to have somebody alongside you going through something very similar?
It's incredible. And every point of my career where I've met, because I work with filmmakers, other filmmakers in Sydney and wherever else, but having someone like Holly, and it's just because this can be a very lonely journey in the arts world, you know, because everybody's going to have a different journey, you know, apart from if, say, you go through drama school, which, you know, you can kind of have people, but really your career is very solitary. That's what I find. So having people alongside you and then having like a continuous working relationship, because, you know, this isn't like the end of our relationship. This is just the beginning. It's so exciting to be like, all right, so now this is done. What are we going to do next? And it's just, it's so, so great. So yeah, that's all I can really say. It's just like someone to bounce ideas off as well and be like, here's my script. What do you think? Go through it. Give me notes. And same likewise, because there's only so much you can sort of, you can create ideas in your head, but really like killing your darlings, as they say, when you've got an idea and you're just like, oh, you know, I just need someone else to look at this, you know. And then she was always really great for that as well. And she's super practical as well. Like I kind of had bigger idea, like in terms of filming structure, my original draft. And we were like, okay, you know, in terms of like what's possible, we'll have to just change it a bit. I was like, okay. And you know what, like it turned out so much better in the end than what my original idea That was just hilarious. Like, I'm so glad we did this than the original one. And so it's just someone to just be there and to work with, which you just normally don't get. Like, you're not in an office environment, you're not in kind of a school environment. It's very much a self-starting kind of attitude you need to have in indie filmmaking. So having those people there is just wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. It's like, with a film like Alison and Betty, it's single location, you're shot in a kitchen, that kind of thing. And that is, I find that really enjoyable because you are limited in the space, so you have to be creative with what you've got. But it's also that understanding of what it means to be an indie filmmaker in the sense that you don't have millions of dollars. You maybe don't even have hundreds of dollars. You might just have 10 bucks, right? So you've got to work with what you've got, and that creates limitations, which makes it a bit easier to create something that's exciting. And that's what Alison and Betty is. There's something that's really quite inventive there and exciting about these two characters. Can you talk about that limitation, working within those limitations to create something that is energetic, exciting, and working with the horror genre?
Oh, thank you so much. That feels really nice to hear that. The original kind of idea came from, we were both working together, was two horror movies, and then they were both kind of melding the real with the unreal. So obviously there are, you know, very concrete real, the kitchen is real, sort of the physical aspect there is real, but then with these two characters, you're not sure what is kind of real there, what is happening in the real world and what is happening in sort of a dream world or a ghost or like whatever you want to think of that. And obviously, yeah, we were limited by money, but we were not limited by imagination and creativity. And that, and with the way it was filmed in the end, and you know, massive props to our DP Adam Groves. He was just incredible. Like, his work, he really brought that vision to life. We worked with what we had, and it was just, I don't know, in a really practical sense, it was filming things out of order, which all films do, but then it really worked so well in the way that it sort of, if you know, in the film where, you know, the paper is ripped up, for example, and then it reappears and you're just like, what just happened? You know, like, it was really like in a filming aspect on the day, it was like, yeah, we're just going to, and then you're just like, watching it back after all this time, I'm just like, it just looks, I just love it. I just love how it's so simple, the action, and, you know, rooted in reality without crazy special effects or anything like that, but so effective, in my opinion, obviously. So I think like those points, and I think like it's, when we did that, we realized that it is possible to create genre and new horror and interesting indie horror with a small budget. It's just the way you think about what you want that horror to be. And so generally, like, the obviously Alison and Betty is more of a psychological horror, but it does have those points where you have like a visual horror. But it's the psychological aspect I think I really wanted to lean into. And that's obviously, with practical terms, it is something you can do on a smaller budget. So what we really needed was really was the acting, a great cinematographer, which is what we had, and a script, and everyone just working so well together. Because if one of those was lacking, I don't think it would have been possible. So it was just simple but effective filmmaking, which is, I found, is really cool. You think, oh, you see a lot of things these days and, oh, they got, wow, like, you know, 100 people on set and, you know, it looks great and everything. But honestly, like, for anyone who wants to make a film, it's possible. You just need great people, I think. Yeah, which I was lucky to have.
Yeah, and a really solid idea and something to work from. As you're saying, the script is really important too. I'm curious about, horror is so often a calling card genre for people to show what is possible, because there are so many different horror festivals and audiences around the world. Was that the decision behind choosing horror as a genre to work in, that it's like, this might get us a bit of attention and traction down the line?
Honestly, it wasn't. So the way that it came about was Holly had this fantastic idea of her film Consumed, which I'll read out her statement later. It was funny. I was kind of like making some suggestions because we were originally just going to make the one film. And I was like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And she's like, look, let's break it into two films. So that's literally where it came. But we like the horror was sort of implanted in there because I was sort of, we were both brainstorming things and I was like, look, now I really want to make a horror as well. And I'm honestly not a massive like horror buff. I don't really like Saw or anything like that. But what I do love is psychological thrillers and psychological part of it. So that's kind of and where that came from. And I was having discussions with my mum as well about when you have dreams and you wake up and you think it was so real. It was just so, you just so, and then a lot of inspiration just came from my life. So for example, the friendship, that was the main basis of like the original idea was these two girls who are friends, Alison and Betty, and how if you start off say in primary school or high school, you're the best of friends, you just love each other, you're obsessed with each other. And then, you know, you get a bit older, one seems, you know, is starting to go in a different direction. And one of them is just like, no, stay, you know, I want to be your best friend. And then there's that like that terrible fear of loneliness, which honestly, like for me, loneliness is like one of the most horrific things in the world. Like you don't think horror and lonely, like you're more like thinking creatures in the dark, you're not alone. But in fact, being alone is absolutely terrifying and horrific. At least to me. So that's kind of where like, okay, so there's a threat of being alone. What do you resort to avoid that? So it's that desperation then. So that kind of, it wove into this story through that. So it was sort of psychological horror, like what can we explore? The two friends and then the horror from being alone, terrified of being alone, the desperation, and then like, the absolutely horrible things you will resort to in order to keep that other person around, which, you know, it's if you look at real life, like, you know, you not necessarily exactly the same, but there are things that, you know, people like if someone's trying to escape or some get away from somebody, people do crazy things. So, yeah, that's kind of where the inspiration from Alison and Betty originally came from. And then obviously I really wanted that Betty Crocker kind of pretty exterior where you look at like the visuals of it and it looks very nice, but it has this like dark, rotting, festering kind of feeling underneath, like a nice apple and you take a bite and there's like rotten and there's worms in it. And, you know, kind of thing. That was, yeah, that's with definitely the idea that kind of I polished up in the end for Alison and Betty. And then Consumed, if we look at Holly's was based on her true story. So mine was made up with sort of things in there or peppered in from my own life. Hers was like a real horrifying event for her, which was sleep paralysis. And so she called that, and it's just, I've seen some clips of it and it is just absolutely terrifying. And then an interesting aspect of that was as well is when nobody understands and nobody listens. You can go to a psychologist, you can go to a friend, you can explain it. But if you haven't experienced it, what people just be like, oh, you know, that's terrible. Oh, you know, have a cup of tea before bed. That's literally like a line in the film, you know. And it's just that horrible. So that also that feeling of just, you're just lonely, you're so isolated because nobody, people are there, sure, but they don't understand. So I think that the visual aspects of it are completely different. Hers is very much like that really dark and creepy energy. But it's, if you look underneath it at the kind of that horror aspect of it, like you do find that loneliness is a common theme, which is really interesting.
yeah, and I find that so fascinating because it is something that, again, coming back to the budget aspect of it, you don't need a huge amount of money to explore loneliness. You don't need flashy images or anything like that because it is so internal, and exploring the internal on screen is the whole point of films is, you know, empathy and making people understand. And it sounds like you're able to do that with Consumed. You said that you've got a statement there from Holly. Would you like to read that? And so we can talk about that a little bit more. Yeah.
So Holly says, first off, apologies I cannot be a part of this today. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Consumed is in post-production and currently on pause while I undergo breast cancer treatment and hope to return to Melbourne mid-year once this is all behind me, stronger than ever. I've always loved horrors and thrillers when they're done well and find them to be one of the most difficult to pull off, with the fine line of potentially making them look too cringe or corny or just looking cheap because they're so finicky and have so much detail. Australian horrors in particular I think are so epic, like The Babadook, Talk to Me and Wolf's Creek. Australia as a landscape in itself gives a spooky energy, and I want to see more horrors coming out of here. I wanted to challenge myself to make a horror film with little to no budget after seeing so many successful horror films on platforms such as YouTube. If your idea is solid, there is so much potential. I was inspired to write Consumed following an incident years ago in my late teens after a male followed me to the bathroom while at work. And without going into too much detail, I started to have this recurring nightmare, or terror, you could say, that somebody or something was trying to get to me. I wrote it years later as an adult, and it was very therapeutic, and the terror stopped, so that was an added bonus. Consumed touches on themes such as assault, stalking, anxiety, sleep paralysis, and night terrors in adults, and how they can affect you physically, mentally, and emotionally. Catherine and I are both driven actors and filmmakers and decided to pair up and create a female-driven horror duo, which led us to doing some fundraising for our films. We are so grateful for the money we raised and for the generous people who donated so we could make these films. We're excited to show off what we did and the incredible teams behind both Alison and Betty and Consumed, because without them, we wouldn't be here.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I hope the treatment is going okay for Holly as well. And it's, you know, everything that she says there is so wonderful and right about Australian horror. We have so much stuff that is in there, and Consumed sounds like a very intense experience as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it down the line. You talk about the crowdfunding support that people have given you. How important it is to have that kind of community support behind you as filmmakers?
It is so incredibly important. I mean, both of us were obviously at the very start of our careers as filmmakers, so no legitimate, I guess I say legitimate, but like official funding board, I guess. We don't have anything behind us to say, you know, we're filmmakers, because, you know, we're starting out. So at this point, the only way really is self-funding or through crowdfunding. Obviously self-funding wasn't really, you know, it was really hard. Like, we did put in our own money, but because I had to get down to Melbourne as well, it was just like, we just thought, you know, and so we thought, well, look, we'll try, because it was very possible that it just wasn't going to happen, at least for a few years or a year or so, until we could save up and everything. But we were just so lucky that people came, like, saw our concepts and were just like, yeah, we want to support you. It was just friends and family, really. That's who came out for us. So we were just so incredibly grateful to everybody who decided that we were worth, you know, their hard-earned money. And I'm so glad to be able to, yeah, show them the film once it's out and everything. And, yeah, and just, you know, it feels so kind of like incredible that when people have faith in you, that they're like, this is my, like, they've earned their money, it's you know, it's their money, and they're like, well, I have faith that, you know, you're going to make something special, so I'm going to provide this to your film. I don't know, it's just, it's an honor, it's an absolute honor and privilege.
But there's also a faith and support in each other, yourself and Holly, and it sounds like, obviously, with Consumed, it's dealing with some very real, dark themes and ideas. And I'm curious if you can talk about the importance of being able to support one another and being there as a support for Holly to be able to explore that on screen as actors and filmmakers.
Absolutely. Holly's just a very open person, which I really appreciate. She's shares, you know, these things which a lot of people would be, you know, would have trouble sharing, but she's just loves to, you know, for example, with her breast cancer treatment, you know, which is, you know, it's a hard topic to think about and discuss, but she's so open. She says, girls, check your breasts, you know, make sure. And you know, it's just, mate, she's so positive about things that, you know, are generally like difficult to talk about. And then, so when she was talking about her night terrors and where that came from, the main thing she was saying was like, it's actually great to just get this out in the open and talk about it. Because keeping it to yourself and keeping it like having it festering inside you, it's like, it's actually very difficult. It's actually better off to talk about it and share it and then create and make it into art. It was actually really interesting. I went to the Louise Bourgeois exhibition, and then that was one of her sort of her artworks explored that kind of thing. When something happens to you and it's very dark and it can eat you up, like you can actually like transfer that through your body straight into art, which I just thought was such an interesting way of thinking about it. So rather than, yeah, having these things that happen to you that can, yeah, just stay with you and eat away at you, you kind of, yeah, bring it out into the open. And once you like shine a light on it and you create it into art, for example, it doesn't become as scary anymore. It becomes something that everybody can talk about together, and then it kind of takes that darkness and terrifying thing away from it. And it yeah, that's, I think Holly was just, had been so great about that. She's much better at that than me. I'm one of those people, I let things eat at me. So yeah, no, she's been amazing. And yeah, it was an honor as well for her to trust in me, to be a part of her story. Yeah, so yeah, it was lovely. And to play a character in her film who, you know, my character in her film is one of the people, say, represents the people who don't care or don't listen to survivors, or people who, not survivors of that kind of thing, but more like people who are having night terrors. Doesn't, you know, because there are, you know, there's such a difference in a room full of people and a room full of people who cares. Because you can be in a room full of people and they just, nobody cares, or there's a room full of people or even one person who actually cares. And that difference is huge. So it was interesting to explore that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, again, that support is so important. As you're heading into the year, you've got film festivals and stuff coming up. What's that process been like for you both? How's it been with submitting? And obviously you don't need to announce any festivals if you've got into them, but yeah, what's that process like?
So Consumed is still in post-production, so we haven't submitted that one yet, but I've submitted Alison and Betty in a few, and still waiting to hear back. I think the first one I'll be hearing about is in a week. But yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but it's also very exciting because I also edited the film. I've seen it, you know, 3,000 times. but when I look at it and I'm just like, I really hope that, you know, people see in it what I wanted to express and appreciate that the love and the creativity and everything that I've sort of poured into this, because it was a total labor of love. I just loved making it. I loved writing it. I loved filming it. I loved editing it. Editing is, you know, like it's fun, but it's very, very time consuming. But, you know, the film in the end, like it's something I'm so proud of. And I just the uniqueness of it, like it's something that I would want to watch. Generally, like if someone else made it, I would watch that and think, oh, that's really interesting. So I just hope that like other people have that same feeling. You know, you can't guarantee anything, but it would just be amazing to see that people see that and go, wow, like that said something to me, that made me feel something. Oh, I really liked that. You know, that's all a filmmaker wants, I guess, is, you know, or just not necessarily like I loved it, but like, oh, that was interesting, you know, like it's and the honor to share it with people, because I guess with indie films, it's the only way you can really share it is through festivals, unless you license it or whatever. But And being able to share it with you, and then that was a real honor. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. It's always nice that people A, know what I do, and B, you know, that I can have these chats with someone like yourself. It's really quite exciting. For me, at least, I do this in a very selfish manner because I like talking to filmmakers like yourself and talking to Australian filmmakers. So, you know, it's fun. But I want to talk about there is one shot in particular in Alice and Betty that I really liked, which is there's a top-down shot where, you know, and she's on her knees and stuff. And it's a really quick shot, but I really like that kind of creativity and just that change of perspective of the relationship between the two characters was really great. So that in particular, I thought it was a really fun and also quite a thought-provoking short film, but that short will be one that will stick with me. So, you know, that kind of thing is really good. Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, that's really, really interesting you brought that up, because I thought with these two characters, like, without giving too much away, like, their relationship is not only one of like exasperating love, but like it's a bit like a mother and child in a way. If you like, that's something I really did want to, because if you watch it, like I really wanted that to come through, that Alison wasn't going to like give in. Like even although she loves Betty very, very much, she just treat her like a bit like a toddler. And so that shot was a bit like, that was intentional with like a bit like a toddler tugging on the apron strings, like, hey, you know, like mummy, mummy. And it's like, you know, just, you know, it was, you know, it's like, you know, just calm down or whatever. Yeah. So you see that's why I think that's what made it all sort of subconscious, but even watching it back, I realized this, that what made Alison so formidable. And such a kind of, you couldn't crack her, because whatever tactic Betty came at her with, she was ready to counter it with whatever it could be, whether it was love, whether it was like tough love, you know, kind of parental love, which is love in itself, but it's kind of like, you're not going to tell me what to do. So yeah, like it was really interesting you think about it. So it was, yeah, that shot in particular was showing that kind of parent-child relationship where the child is completely helpless, and in that way Betty plays that figure of the child who has no choice but to do what mum says.
Well, it comes across so strongly, so yeah, there's a lot to be proud of. I'm excited to see where your journey as a filmmaker goes, and the same for Holly as well. For people who want to follow along too, where can they follow these stories of the films? You've got Instagram accounts, is that right?
Do, yeah. And it's interesting, I have a lot of scripts in the timeline. I'm always, always loving, I have things like ready to go. I just need like to actually make them. So my Instagram is at just J-U-S-T-A. It's at just a Miss Grace, J-U-S-T-A-M-I-S-S Grace, G-R-A-C-E. And people are like, what does that mean? And I'm like, it's funny because my last name is Grace, so that's my real last name. And when I was naughty as a kid, my dad used to say, you're a disgrace, and that would make me laugh because it's my name. So it's like just a disgrace, just a misgrace. That's where that comes from. And the Instagram for the film is at Alison and Betty, just directly. Like, and Alison is spelled A-L-I-S-O-N-A-N-D-B-E-T-T-Y. And Holly's Instagram, I'll just double check I get this right, because I don't want to give it
wrong. I'll make sure to put the links in there as well, so everybody's got them too.
Holly E. Because I'm like, oh my God, if I put the wrong, yeah, it's Holly E, like the letter E, Dodd. Yeah. And we didn't have a film for Consume, but Holly will, and I will both post about it as it continues in post-production and release.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of The Curb Podcast. Make sure to visit thecurb.com.au for more interviews and to read reviews. Also visit patreon.com/thecurbau to help keep The Curb independent from as little as $1 a month. Thanks again. We'll see you on the next one.